also want to just mention a couple other things that I know you have questions on your minds about budgets, about your futures, about missions. And I want to address a couple of those, and then we'll open it up and talk about whatever you want to talk about, take questions. First, budgets. You know that we are undergoing as intense a budget reduction process as this department has gone through in many, many years. I'm sure for all of you, or certainly most of you, this is the biggest, most abrupt, steepest budget reduction process in your careers. Unfortunately, that's the world that we are dealing with. Sequestration has impacted our readiness. You've seen that. I talked to the pilots about it today. And when we last year had to stand down a lot of our flying training, this wasn't just for flying, but our sailors, our ground troops couldn't train. Readiness, maintenance were all affected. And we have tried to restructure our enterprise so that we will deal with these kinds of realities. But I think what's ahead is a continuation of these kinds of reductions. So we're going to have to be smart in how we prioritize our resources, be clear in our missions, and be effective in how we operate. And I know you're doing that, and I'm aware of that. We are making some progress in some areas, but I wanted to bring up the budget issue because I know it's on your mind. Second, how it affects you in your careers, your futures, your family. As I said, people are our first priority. People will continue to be our first priority. You take care of your people. That has to be balanced with readiness and capability, because one of the failures of leadership that we are always trying to avoid is having our people well compensated, as you need to be, but at a cost where maybe you're not as ready or capable as you need to be. And no leader of this institution, whether uniformed or non-uniformed, would ever send men and women into combat when you're not ready. I won't do it. I don't think any Secretary of Defense would do it, any chief would do it, any leader would do it. So we are balancing those issues. And I wanted to assure you that it's as high a priority as I have, as the leaders of the Defense Department have. Uncertainty is a difficult thing to live with, especially with families, and especially for the younger men and women here who are at the front end of your careers or maybe in the middle of your careers. That uncertainty is difficult. But I want you to know I'm paying attention to this. We're all paying attention to this. We work with the Congress on this, and we're going to need some help from the Congress. And we're talking to the Congress about we can't continue this irresponsible deferral of sequestration because it will impact this enterprise. And so be assured we're working on it. I also want to mention one other thing, and then we'll open it up to questions. I know the world is today, as you know, because many of you have served all over the world, is as complicated and dangerous as maybe it's ever been. And it is putting new requirements and pressures on all of you, on all of us, to deal with these threats and these dangers in a wise way, in a steady way that assures our security. These are difficult days. You all know that. But these are days also that give us some opportunities to adjust and reset and recalibrate and do some things that will make us stronger in how we think and how we will respond, giving us a broader latitude of leadership and management that you never get when things are status quo. And as we come down out of the second long war, the longest war America has ever been in, 13 years of constant large land wars, there's always a natural reset and process to that. There's some opportunities in that, but I think it's important that we all understand that steady, wise, careful leadership is required today by the United States as maybe any time in your careers. Working with our partners and helping our partners build their capability, building strong relationships and partnerships. As I noted earlier, this new platform represents that. But there are other ways we're doing that. Our Navy's doing it, our Army's doing it, our Marine Corps, Air Force, Coast Guard, South America. We're doing things that we've never done before in building partnerships and helping our partners develop their capabilities to deal with these threats. We'll always be the senior partner, but we need partners. We always need friends around the world, and we need people around the world who are willing to work with us, and we're willing to work with them. So I say that because, again, this base represents so much of that, and the experience here in this hangar and at this base and in your services represents so much of that, of what's been accumulated over a number of years of two long wars and other assignments around the world. So I thank you for that. Again, I thank you for what you do. You do make a difference. You are making a difference. You're defining history. You are defining a new dynamic of world affairs, of security. And this platform is going to help do that as much as any platform we've had in recent times, the F-35. But this would never work without you and without what you do. And again, I want to acknowledge that and thank you.